All right, welcome to the Sporting Spotlight, of course, brought to us by Air Diffusion Australia. Great company if you're looking for your air conditioning, get that house warm or get it cool. They are the best air diffusion agencies here in Australia. If you play 38 games for Collingwood, and you play 162 for the Port Adelaide Footy Club, but you debut at 16 years of age in the VFL.
Yeah.
Then you come over to Adelaide in your first year, your best and fairest.
Yep.
You play in three premierships, you win three best and fairest. You'd be pretty good, wouldn't you?
You'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be pretty good. So our next guest is pretty good. That's all I want to say about that.
Very good.
Stephen Clifford's been good enough to join us. Bomber, how are you?
Good, Phil.
Mate, it's a pretty good record. I mean, you start at 16. Tell us how, at 16 years of age, you're playing for one of the biggest clubs in Australia then in the VFL, Collingwood Footy Club. How did it happen?
Well, I was playing local footy until I was 16, and a team called Banyule, they're still going now. And they didn't have a senior team. And at the end of that year, I won the best and fairest in the competition, so we automatically got an invite down to Collingwood under 19s. And I was only 16, I was a bit concerned that they were a bit too big for me. But to cut a long story short, I went down, I was able to play 9 games the under 19s, 9 games in reserves, and a couple of senior games. Yeah. So, it was pretty big part of my life. Yeah.
And learning about you being in the side was interesting as well, because you were just at home. And there's a bit of a ruckus going on in the sisters' room, and you didn't know you'd been selected.
No, I didn't. Being only 16, I still had to go to school the following day. And back in those days, you only found out if you're in the team on a Thursday evening where they had the local footy show going, and you listened on the radio back then. And I was in bed ready for school the following day, and my sister came running to the bedroom and said I'd be picked the senior team. I just about fell out of bed, to be quite true.
Can you remember, because, that's a situation where a 16-year-old can be just totally overawed, running onto a ground. It would have been a crowd. It would have been a big crowd. Collingwood always draw a big crowd.
We played Carlton, actually, at home. It was actually game of the year that I remember. And I still remember walking out the race, even though I'd played quite a few reserve games. Walking up the race, the A-grade team, we hear this buzz. It sounded like a hive of bees. Yeah. That's exactly what it sounded like. It was actually the people talking and supporting and whatever. And I think that day they closed the gates at 11 o'clock. That's how big the game was. And we ended up going out and winning by about 9 points. And we actually got a bonus that week too. I think we got a bonus of, might have been $20. That was more getting paid. So I was pretty happy with it.
Do you remember, like, in that, say, the first quarter of that game? I mean, you'd have to get to a situation where you'd be just looking around going, whoa, how big is this?
It's
take
you
a while to get into it, is what I'm saying.
No, right? Not really. The guys are pretty supportive, and they give you plenty of support. I still remember that game because I remember the ball going over my head, and I went back to try and grab the ball, and Alex Jezalenko, believe it or not, was leading. I happened to run straight to his ass, so it knocked me over a bit. And I thought, God, that hurt a fair bit. But you get in the way you go again. But just being a part of it was great. And it was all new to me, of course. But
would have been.
It was just part of growing up, and enjoyable, good fun.
I mean, when you come in at 16, though, and you've just touched on one of the greats, Jezalenko. What about the guys you played with? You said some of them were really good. You're coming in.
Wayne Richardson, who was captain, he was terrific,
brilliant
player from West Australia.
Yeah.
His brother Max.
Max Richardson.
He was a wonderful player. Peter McKenna, the full forward.
Brilliant.
I still say to this day he's the best kick for goal I've ever seen.
Magnificent kick.
Barry Price.
Barry Price, a centerman.
So they had quite a few. I was very lucky to be a part of that bunch of players.
But that's how good you were, Bob, and I don't mind saying it, that eventually you moved Price out of the middle and took his spot in the middle. He actually got moved to a wing so that you could play in the middle.
Yeah, that happened the following year. I think the following year, I might have played 14 or 15 league games the following year had a reasonable year. And he happened to be moved out of the centre. Yeah, but didn't bother him. He was still a great player.
Oh, fantastic player, mate. Yeah, he was a great player.
So, mate, you're pretty established, and obviously you're showing all the signs of being a superstar that we got to see over here and there seeing it. Then 38 games in, you go, I don't want to play for one of the biggest clubs anymore. I'm going to play at Port Adelaide. It's clearly not that simple, mate. What happened?
No, what actually happened, we were playing the Swans, and we played the Swans. I think it was out at Waverley, or it might have been at Lake Oval, one or the other, and that game actually got best player for the club, which I was happy about. But after the game, I was in the shower, having a shower, and Len Thompson walked in and he said, asked how I was. I said, yeah, disappointed that, you know, we'd been beaten. He said, you told me I should have been disappointed because it was my fault we lost.
Your fault.
And he said, I should have chased this bloke the last quarter harder, and if I'd have got him, well, we could have saved the game. Me only being the age I was, young, trying to establish myself in the team, had my mum and dad there and my uncle and auntie and guys like that. I knew one thing is to go my hard as I could, and then to have the captain of the club, I think Len was at that stage, come and tell me I didn't try hard enough. I told him where to go, and because I just totally disagree with him. And he was, well, to this day, I'll still say he was wrong.
Yeah.
And the following Thursday, as I said, we used to listen to our name being read, you know, on the radio, because we didn't know if we were picked or not. And I was listening to the radio, hoping to get another game. Well, I thought I would, seeing I was our best player. Cut a long story short, I'd been suspended for the club from telling Len where to go. And I got pretty disappointed with that, because the club never had come to me and asked me why I said it, the reason I said it, what I would have accused him of saying to me.
Yeah.
So from then on, I just felt like the club had let me down quite a bit, and I didn't really want to play there anymore, to be quite truthful. So I was looking for ways out of it, I suppose.
So how did the Port thing come about? Because someone must have got wind of you not being happy at Collingwood, or...?
Well, one of my coaches, when I first went over there, when I played at Collingwood in 1973, Murray Whedon was coaching. Murray, I think, was involved with West Adelaide over here.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to come over and play with West Adelaide, and Foss Williams was coaching then.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
But Westies thought they had enough players my size of calibre. And
good decision.
Yeah, well, I couldn't be any happy with the result. Either
that or Foss was really smart and directed into a great club.
Yeah, we like to think so. Yeah. But I ended up at Port because Murray was also a friend of Sandy Virgo's, who happened to be a recruitment officer at Port Adelaide Footy Club.
So Murray Wiedemann put you on, or Sandy Virgo on
to me, and following week Sandy come over, and I... Really, I only played for you just for the love of the game. It wasn't money or anything, because we didn't really get anything back then.
Yeah.
So I looked for a way out, so that come across, so I've ended up over at Port Adelaide, and that's how come I got here.
Yeah, pretty ordinary first year, best and fairest.
Yeah,
sure. He struggled.
That's right.
Was there much difference at that time between Collingwood and Port Adelaide as far as clubs went? Can you remember back then?
Look, very, very similar. Very similar. And don't worry, when I come over to Port Adelaide, Jack was coaching, and they're a pretty strong team. I still had to play reserves.
Very strong team.
So the week I come over, I had to play B grade against Torrens, I think it was. And so I got the best players, and following week I ended up with the senior team at Ports.
Yeah.
So that's when it really began.
Didn't play too many more reserves games, Bob?
No, that was the only one.
Yeah, just the one.
But I had to think twice about if I'd made the right move or not, because the following week we played Sturt, and we got beat by about 12 goals. So I thought to myself, gee, I hope I've made the right decision. But
so that's 78, isn't it? Yeah, that's 78. Because then you walked into your win a B&F. So you, this is all right here. I better stick around here for a little while.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought to myself, I had all intentions of going back to Melbourne the following year. And because I won the best and fairest at Port Adelaide, and I felt as though I owed them something for giving me an opportunity. Yeah. So I thought I'll stay another year, do as best I can, and go back to Melbourne and try again at VFL, because it was the top echelon of players or whatever went. So the following year, which was 1979, we happened to win the grand final. So I thought, I'll stay one more year, I could do the right thing. And lo and behold, we won the flag the following year. So this is the last time, I'll get a bit long in the tooth to be going back. So I'll stay one more year and then I'll go back. And lo and behold, we won the flag in 1981 too. I'd been here 4 or 5 years, and I thought it was too old to go back. So I ended up being here for good.
But you made a lot of friends, didn't you, mate? That's the other thing too. It's not just about the footy. you made a lot of friends at Port Adelaide, and you're a bit of a cult figure at Port Adelaide amongst the fans. Would have been really difficult for you to just leave anyway.
Yeah, well, it would have been difficult for me to leave, but I remember I still had Mum and Dad back in Melbourne. Yeah. I still had all my family back in Melbourne, so yeah. I was probably over here by myself.
Yeah.
But as far as Port concerned, they made me feel at home. They made me feel part of them. I was married when I first came over here, and then I'd split up with my wife, and we were playing finals that year, and Jack and his wife actually took me in and said, look, while you get your head right, Steve, come and stay with us. And look, this made me a part of their family.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was like living in a resort. It had tennis courts, swimming pool, had everything for them, you know.
Yeah.
And after 2.5 years, I thought I'd better not make me... Better not stay too much longer.
Just took a while to get your head right.
But yeah, they made me feel so happy, and they made me feel so welcome at the footy club. I couldn't see myself playing anywhere else.
Hey, mate, you're a bit of a scallywag, but the players loved. I mean, you nothing untoward. It wasn't like you were a maniac, but you loved to have fun.
I loved that.
And all the players that I ever spoke to about you, always in the mention of. Geez, Bomber Clippers of Ripper Blake. Have so much fun with Bomber. Was that just your personality, mate? You just loved being a character?
I love playing footy.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer that if you're happy and you're happy where you are, your footy stays that way. It's when you're not happy or when you're unhappy and things aren't going your way, your footy gets destroyed, as to say. So I was always happy. I tried to be happy as much as I could. But a lot of the rumours you hear about me aren't really true. Some are close to it, but a lot aren't.
Bit of extra mayo on them now, is it?
Yeah. So.
But the other thing is too, Bom, a lot of them are true.
I know. Right.
But they were all fun. There was never...
We never hurt anyone. Never did anything wrong to anybody. Yeah.
Phil said you were a scallywag. Well, we know that. I watched you play your whole career. But there were times when... Bomber Clifford had a police escort coming off the ground.
That happened once at Central District.
I remember we were
heading towards the end of three quarter time, and we're about five or six goals down, and nothing seemed to be happening. So I just give a Central player a bit of a backhander, and a big blue started, and of course the Central people had seen what happened, and I was a villain of the cause, I suppose. We ended up winning the game. Yeah. We had a bit of a comeback and won the game by about, I think it might be about 9 points or something like that.
Yes, it was.
Then coming off the ground, like all these Central people just coming straight at me. And then, lo and behold, all the police officers come around me and their police horses and a couple of fingers went up. I was pretty happy about it. But one thing about the club, like, a lot of the players sort of come with me, and I left the change rooms too to be car.
Yeah.
But I was in a bit of a hurry to get out of Central District Saturday, I can tell you. I was that much of a hurry. A couple of weeks later, I opened a letterbox, I got a speeding fine coming out of Central District's going home that. Just to get out of there quickly and up with a speeding fine, yeah.
The other one that sticks in my mind was another one that is a fairly dangerous move. You cleaned up Michael Aish at Norwood one day, where the crowd, I can remember that crowd that day being so loud and so aggressive as Port were coming off at half-time. I reckon it was half-time.
But I know
it was a bump. It was a bump.
I don't think it was my guy. There's a bloke called John Clark. He's a half-back flank. I'd give him a bit of a hard bump one day. Might have been a different day. I ran it a lot of people.
Accidentally, of course.
And then what happened, we were up two that day. We were up a couple of goals, and then... when I bumped into him, he ended up going off the ground, a bit worse for wear, and they brought him on after half time, and they put him in the forward pocket. I think he kicked seven goals on Ivan Eckelman.
Yeah.
And of course, I was a villain, not only with them, but with our team. Right. If you hadn't hit him, he would have gone in the forward pocket. And it was, so I was in bad books, both sides of the fence.
But that's the way you played, Bom. You played close to the edge, but a lot of that team did.
Play to win, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you play the game for, you play to win. I love a contest anyhow.
Of those three, the 79, 80, 81, which one sticks out to you? Because they all would, but which one is the one?
Oh, I think it's always your first.
Yeah.
It's always your first. that sticks out to you, and for me it was.
Yeah.
1980 was special also, as 81 was, but 80 was also good because we had to work really hard to win the game.
Great game.
But we really felt that if we played well, we'd win by a fair bit. If we played average footy, we'd still win.
Yeah.
And we played average footy that day and were still able to beat Norwood.
And Russell said that that is the best team that he's ever played in.
It was
ever.
Pretty darn good.
That was a really
pretty
good team.
Good,
yeah. And Keith Thomas, I think, says the same thing.
1980.
When we interviewed Keith Thomas.
Yeah.
Who played with Norwood as well.
Pretty hard team to get into. As I said, there's a lot of players that probably were playing B grade that year that would have walked into A grade teams anywhere else. But for their love of the club, they stayed there. And that only says accolades to Port Adelaide Footy Club for keeping players around.
They won as well, didn't they? Didn't the Twos win that year as well?
I think they did too.
I think the club won everything.
You talk about the 79 one, and you're right. The first one's always the one you remember. And most athletes tend to remember more of the games they've lost than the games that they've won, and can recite more why they lost a game than why they won a game. But what stood out for you in the 79? Is there a couple of moments that you can...
Oh, it was Greg Phillips.
There he is. Yeah.
Just punch the ball to the boundary line all the time.
Because it wasn't a good day, was it?
A very breezy day. And we kicked against the breeze, I think, the second quarter we kicked against the breeze. And Greg Phillips just punched the ball to the boundary line. I come from the back of the throw-ins, punched the ball over. And he won he's primarily the reason for it.
The only final I missed. Port Adelaide. I was in England at the time, that's the only one. But when I saw it, I thought, I'm glad I missed that one.
Poor excuse.
It was a really poor day. It was. A really, really average day.
Remember them all. I remember 81, that big goal I kicked. Went a long way, mate. When they got the ball back, it had another postcode on it. It might be completely true.
It's a famous goal because a friend of ours, Don Field.
Yeah, Donny Field.
Lived at North Haven.
Right. Great, so you're saying Bomber kicked it at Footy Park and it landed at North
Haven? He reckons Don Field marked it.
He put it in a cab and brought it back, cost $24 to get it back to Footy Park in a cab.
It was a torpedo. I remember it well. We don't do enough torpedoes today.
No, we don't. I didn't seem to have too much problems with them, I can tell you.
I know. You know, I see players now, they'll take a mark on the siren, they have to kick the goal. Oh, he's too far out. They don't even try the torp. They'll just do some wobble.
They don't practice it anymore.
Mate. Well, mate, it's a kick that...
Funny enough, at training, the boys at the end of training, all the boys will do torps.
Everyone likes to do them, but the way the game is, I think that there's definitely an art to it, but the game's got pretty quick now. It's pretty hard to do a screw.
That's right.
Only a few of us talented players are able to do that.
And it was a big kick.
Only two coaches in your time at Port Adelaide, Jack and Russell. I mean, that's unusual in itself now. There tends to be coaches getting changed on a fairly regular basis. Jack was always seen as the real positive bloke. Had you believe he could walk on water? Russ was different.
Jack was a motivator. He was a bloke that he told you were better than you actually were, and you actually believed him and played above yourself. Russell was totally different. Russell was a guy that would keep you on the training track for 2 hours trying to make you train the way he wanted you to train. He was a believer that everyone had the same ability as what he did.
Yeah.
And
if you couldn't handball left-handed, then you would, you know.
So we always found ourselves on the track a lot longer than we did, than I believe we should have been.
Yeah.
And what was going on, a lot of the players suffered from that because they weren't enjoying their footy as much.
Yeah, it comes back to
to having fun. So I think that had a bit of a situation with us where we didn't have as much fun under Russell. Therefore, if you're not having good fun playing footy, it shows on the footy field, and we didn't perform that well. We got the flag in 84, we got beat that year, of course.
Yeah, and one thing they were very good at was having fun.
Over
those years, and they did. I mean...
As I said, for my situation, people said I used to get on the drink and blah, blah, blah. I might may have, but I never missed training. I was always at training early. I was always last to leave training,
Which a lot of people didn't know.
A lot of people didn't know. you've got to have a bit of pride in the way you perform. If you don't have pride in the way you perform, you don't play the game.
Yeah.
So, like I said, a lot of the rumors you hear about me aren't true. Some are, some aren't. But as far as training is concerned, I always put footy first.
It's funny, isn't it? The people that are at the sessions and know you, they'll all say, had a lot of fun playing with him and no one trained harder.
Yeah,
oh, I've never heard the other stories about, oh, he was on the terps too much or he did it. There was always a little bit, you know, here that. But most of the people that knew you reinforced what you just said.
Well, I'm glad. That's a fact.
Mate, some of the greats, you played with some of the greats. Did you have a couple of, would you thought, you know, Russell is always the one that everyone talks about because he was top of the tree. But there were some great players through that period that often don't get mentioned.
Oh, the best player I played with, without a shadow of doubt, that Paul was Craig Bradley.
Yep. Yeah.
He just a brilliant player. That were always proved how good he was. He just about holds the record for Carlton now.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy I only played with this 1 year, I thought was a great player, Tony Martin. He played on a wing for us.
Yeah,
Super player. And blokes that didn't really get recognised, like Ivan Eckerman, Ian Bradmore in the back pocket. A lot of people didn't realise how quick Ian was. He'd probably beat Bradmore's over 100 metres, whereas a lot of people wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. And built like a...
Whoop. And strong player. And you could go look right through our team over the years, and I was lucky enough to play in some terrific... Darryl Cahill, like you said.
He doesn't get talked about a lot, does he? Darren Cahill, for as good as Darryl. He was. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Jack because of his career, but he was almost the quiet achiever, wasn't he?
He was. Like you didn't see much of Darryl around the footy club, but that was what he was like. But people, when you look back, and I'm a firm believer he should be in the club's...
Hall of Fame.
When you look at his performances over the years, he's played 250-odd games, if not more. I think he represented the state a dozen times. He'd... Runner-up best and fairest 5 times, played in 3 winning premierships, maybe 1 losing one. Yeah. So the accolades are there, and just a champion player that doesn't get recognised that often.
But you're right there, because a lot of those players don't get recognised because the club was so strong, because the club had great players. You know, it's hard to go, well, there's Russell Ebert, who's this bloke over here who just had 38 possessions and kicked 4 goals.
It's kind of Russell Ebert, Bomber Cliff and a couple of other blokes. That's where you're going.
The way it normally works is you find with any other team, it's the same. On ballers always get recognised. Not so much your back pointers or your back pocket players or forward pocket players or anything like that. And that's the way it tends to be. You look at Brownlow medals, you look at the medals they have over here. You know, same sort of situation.
So what about opponents? Who was your toughest? Who was a player that you didn't look?
That's a real as far as I'm concerned, you know, I couldn't really say who's the hardest to play because they're all tough. When you're playing that level, you never underestimate anyone.
Yeah.
I will say when I played against Norm, Mike Galatia was a bit of a pain in the ass to be quite truthful. You try and play the same sort of game. I'd get to the front when I was playing against him where I would be normally. The ball would go over the back and there he'd be.
Yeah.
Or I'd go over the back and the ball would come off the front and there he'd be, you know. He was sort of the bloke that I just think, God, I play the same sort of game, but he's too quick to give a backhander to, too.
Well, you didn't mind giving him a backhander one day. You put him in on the moon nearly one day at Norwood. Norwood Oval, I'm glad you brought up Norwood because one of your great strengths as a player was your ability to find space. That's how I always read you. How did Bomber get out there on his own? Why is he on his own by 20 or 30 minutes? He did it a lot. But you were the only player I ever saw who made space at Norwood because it's a small ground. It's a tough ground to make space on.
I understand what you're saying, but I was so lucky coming to Port at the stage I did. One of Port's major strengths was their defence. And playing on the ball, I always had this belief that our defence was going to get control of the ball straight away.
So you're reading it.
So when most of the players went into the defensive side, I'd go wide, I'd go here, I'd just make sure I'd be by myself.
Yeah.
Though I didn't realise how often our defence would get the ball, and we got it 99% of the time, 90% of the time. So when the ball come out, I was always by myself because... Yeah, I just wasn't picked up because everyone thought the ball would stay into the forward line.
And the defence knew it.
Yeah, and the defence knew. Initially, it was always told to lift their head, and I happened to be there. But I yelled out pretty loud too because I wanted the ball.
Yeah.
And that's the reason it all happened.
You're one of the great characters of footy, not just at Port Adelaide, but football in SA. You're just one of those, if you want to mention characters, your name will come up, no problem at all. But you're very, the interview you did with KG on the footy show, I think it was after a flag one year. Yeah. And you've got to tell this story, Bomb, because I think it spun a lot of people out. If you're watching it, you've got to remember it's live.
Yeah, it was live TV.
It's live TV as well. Run us through what happened there.
I'm pretty sure it was after the 1980 grand final. Yeah. I forget which one now. And every Sunday after grand final, we were asked, or the winning team was asked to go in and to Channel 9. It was just a regular or an annual thing that occurred.
Yeah.
And everyone would have their say. And anyhow, cut a long story short, KG interviewed me while I was there with the rest of the team. And he asked me, was there anything new happening in Port Adelaide or have we got any new players? And I said to Ken, yeah, we've got remember a player called Royce Hart, Ken, who used to play centre-half forward for Richmond. He said, yeah.
Great player, yeah.
I said, we've got his son coming over, Juve. And Ken said, Juve Hart? I said, no, did you? And took a little while for Ken to, that was on live TV actually, yep. So it took a bit of while for Ken to understand what was going on, but it worked pretty good.
It took KG a while because KG was like that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, everyone else, you could see the actual camera that was on Bomber sort of wobble because the cameraman
lost
wet himself.
He was laughing, everyone in the laugh rock, Ken, you know it.
That was fantastic. One of the things that you're famous for with the players, mate. Quick wit. That was.
I was just glad Ken didn't turn around and say, "What position does he play?"
Well, he led you in beautifully, didn't he?
Yeah. I could have gone on with it a bit more, but I thought, no.
Well, you finish playing and you have a dabble in coaching. You go to Greenacres, win their only premiership, but didn't stay in coaching too long, mate.
No, I didn't stay in coaching too long. Like we got involved with Greenacres in 1988.
Yeah.
I would have been and. Went to Greenacres and they hadn't won a flag in Divvy 1. They just got in Divvy
right.
1 for a short time.
That's right.
And
Eva Gabor was the president.
Yep.
And I went up there. I went up there in 1987. I played a year. And after I coached the following year, which I said I would. And when I approached the players, I said to the players, I will not leave the club or I won't drink alcohol at all until we win a flag. And thank God we won it this year. I'd still be a teetotaler today. You know, but we were lucky enough to win the flag that year. And the following year, we got beaten in the preliminary final, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I stayed another year after that, and then I left. Too tough. It's hard job coaching. People don't realise how hard it is.
Yeah.
As much as you love footy, you want to succeed.
Yep,
you know, that's what you want to do all the time. You want to win. And you've got to be mother and father to every player on the team. You've got to know who to motivate, who not to tell off. You can't say this to that. Can't say that to this person. And it just got too difficult. Spins you out a little bit, mate. So,
And time consuming.
I had a bit of time in hand, so it didn't really bother me. But it was just all the way I had to treat different people all the time to get the best out of them.
Yeah.
So.
You've got an enormous amount of experience. A young 16, 17-year-old kid coming into AFL footy now, you've been through it. What advice would you give him?
As I said, I've got three grandsons, two of them play up Aussie rules. They play up in Brisbane, and I've got one plays here. He's only 10.
Oh, yeah,
And he's made SAPSARS under 12 team this year, so that's able. So
here we go. Yeah,
pretty wrapped. So hopefully he'll be a Port Adelaide player or somewhere along the
line.
Or whatever, yeah. Something like that.
That's a new rule. Look,
you've just brought that in,
haven't you? That's a new rule.
If you're going in, you've got to really love the game. I think that's important. If you love the game, enjoy the game. You're only going to benefit by it. You're going to bring the best out of yourself. And listen to what people say to you. Listen to what your teammates say to you. Listen, take in as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But, just enjoy what you're doing. Because I don't think you're going to get hurt these days playing league footy because you jump into their back, you get penalised. Yeah. You shirt front them, you get penalised. You trip them up, you get penalised.
Yeah.
You get them too high, you get penalised.
Call them a name, you get penalised.
Threaten anyone, you get penalised. But if you know what I mean. But look, Vader, just enjoy what you're going through and listen to what people, to listen to what your coach says, and and just have fun.
What if you're coming out the other end? You got a year or two.
Count your money.
Yeah, count your money. That would be the advice you'd give. But you know how some players say, clearly the big part for you, mate, and I know there's a physical component that says I physically can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Then there's a component which I agree with you, I'm big on, I'm not enjoying it anymore.
Yeah, that's a big one for me.
You know how some players get to that stage, and I reckon I've got another year left in me, I reckon I can go two more. What advice would you say to those guys?
Think about it. Yeah. Really have a big think about it, because if you start to question yourself about things like that, you're better off saying no.
And your performance suffers.
And your performance suffers. Yeah. And that's for sure. So
yeah.
A lot of people just, I think I've got one. Well, if you've got to think about it, you haven't. That's what I'm a firm believer.
Yeah.
But if you say, I really still love the game, I've still got something to give, well, you do it.
Then do it. Go for it. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people say, you hear it a lot, it's an old cliche or something, you know when it's time. And I always used to think that's rubbish. That's rubbish. But it's true.
And it's
true. You actually get to that stage where you go, boom, I've had enough.
Yep.
You know, and when people will say, oh, no, you're okay. You know what? Well, no, you're not. Because once you think that,
that's
your performance goes out the window.
Absolutely.
You're not playing at 100.
Yeah.
You're about 80 or maybe 70. That's not good enough.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And even a lot of players, they might go somewhere else because of the money side of things, and that doesn't work either. It's all about enjoying yourself, because I know when I went to Port, I was getting about $250 a game, and after three premierships and three best of friends, I was still $250 a game. Didn't bother me. I just enjoyed the footy. And I've just loved it.
Last question, we'll let you go. Got plenty to do. Bomber Clifford now, life for Bomber, mate. You got 7 grandkids, happily married.
Yep.
Well, that's what you told me when I came in about being happily married. I knew about 7 grandkids. Mate, life good.
Life's good for me. My wife, Meryl, been married to Meryl for 25 years, and she's wonderful. I'm not having a crack at marriage, too. Meryl's my third, though. As happy as I've ever been. All my family's good. I still do a little bit of work on the wharf, which I enjoy. But I would like Port to be a little bit more successful than they are.
Yeah, and you still follow the game, Bob?
To a lesser extent, I just don't really like where the game is at the moment.
Join the club, mate. Join the club.
But once you play for a club, your heart's there.
Yeah, of course.
And it's very hard to lose. Yeah. To leave you.
Yeah.
So I still like seeing them win, as I do Greenacres, as I do, probably to a lesser extent with Collingwood, but you still like to see them succeed. At the moment I'm not a big fan of the game, but...
You're not alone, Bob.
I wouldn't mind playing it, though, these days. I'd be worth a few dollars, on the market.
Right,
you get more than 250. Might be 3 zeros on the end of it.
I might think so.
Stephen Bomber Clifford, our special guest. Boys. Appreciate your time, mate.
Good on you, Bob. Great to see you, mate.
Cheers.
Now,
folks.
Get up, mate. You want to do it all the time. Like, share, subscribe. That really helps us out. Don't worry about what Baz says. Like, share, subscribe.